Friends, it's so good to be here with you. We are starting a new series called Love Thy Neighbor. And one of the things that we have talked about as a church, that one of our vision and our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus together. And the question coming out of Easter is the question that we always are asking. Like, we're never assuming anything about our life with Jesus. We're asking God, what do you want us to be? What kind of neighbor do you want us to be? And the question is, I wondered if God would use Pine Lake as he has over the last 44 years. That if he didn't change the plateau through miracles and wonders, but being great neighbors. Being great neighbors. And so as we thought about that, one of the things that we continually, as we say each week, that we are formed as disciples of Jesus, our desire as people who are seeking after Jesus is to, and threefold, is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this morning we're talking about in Luke chapter 10, the love command, and the way that it is one command, not two. And as I thought about this and thought about neighboring, I remember back, we were living in Texas, and Texas has thunderstorms, and so we're used to those things. We learn to sleep through them. And a thunderstorm came through in the middle of the night, right, gusts of like 70, 80 miles an hour, and all of a sudden we heard a big crash. Ashley and I remember we had a newborn at that time, so we woke up because we were worried the newborn would wake up, but the newborn slept through it, as a good Texan that she did. And then we all went back to sleep, and I was having to get up early in the morning, and I got up early, and I heard a knock at 6 a.m. And if you've had a newborn, 6 a.m., like, you're groggy, you walk downstairs. I walk downstairs and I open the door, and it is a man with a chainsaw and a mask. Is this the apocalypse? Is this how it ends? And the first thing he says, he goes, "You probably need to get to work, don't you?" And inside, I'm like freaking out. I was like, how do you know my schedule? Like, do I have a stalker? And then as I rub the sleep out of my eyes, I realize this is my neighbor across the street who had only moved in 2 weeks before. And so I'm like, how do you know my schedule? And I was like, yeah, I gotta get up. We're getting our daughter up, and then I'm gonna be heading out. And he goes, well, do you want me to work on this tree that fell in your driveway and on your car? And I was like, sure. I didn't even know. Like, I went back to sleep. And so all of a sudden I'm getting ready, and that the chainsaw is working at it. And not only are they're just taking it out so quick. And so I come downstairs, and the car is uncovered, not a dent, not a scratch in it. And I just like look, and I feel terrible. If you know anything about me, like, I want to say thank you, but I get in the car and drive away. And all of a sudden, as I'm driving away, I see that, you know, they're finishing up him and his son. And I drive to work, and I'm just thinking about this whole way, not only on the drive to work, but at work, and then on the way home. I had this phrase that God just kept saying. He goes, so I brought you your neighbor. Now what are you going to do? And I think about that for us, and so often that we forget is that God has brought us our neighbors. There's no accident that you live where you live, and that those who live around you live around you. There's no accident, there's no coincidences in our relationship with Jesus. And so the question is this morning, like, what does it look like for us as disciples of Jesus to live for God's glory and our neighbor's good? And so this morning, as we talk about this understanding of loving our neighbor as God has called us to, we are living for God's glory and our neighbor's good. And so this morning, if you would open up to Luke chapter 10, we're going to sit in this text for the next few weeks and most of this series. And so it'll be a good one for you to just sit in, to ruminate on over the next few weeks. And so it starts in verse 25. It says this: on occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied, and how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Would you join me in prayer? Father, post-Easter, we are grateful for your gift of resurrected life. Life that is available to us now. But that life is hard. You said we'll have trouble. And so we come in places of heartache, in seasons of turmoil, and seasons of joy. But we're all seeking life. So Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see that life? Holy Spirit, would you give us ears to hear the life and the joy that is happening around us? God, and would you give us heart to mold, to change, to accept? Holy Spirit, come, speak. Your people are listening. We ask this in your name. Amen. I love this story. As we haven't got into the rest of the story, the parable that Jesus gives, but I love this part because it really, at the core of who we are, it lives in us. Like, I find myself here because we are people who ask questions and seek answers. We are people who ask questions, and for us as disciples of Jesus, really like asking questions, and just as human beings, as we ask questions like, I don't know what I'm doing. Or who are you? What do you love? There's questions that seek understanding, questions that seek advice. There's questions that seek intimacy. There's questions that seek direction. We ask these of one another, and we ask these of God. This is what it looks like when we talked about earlier, being with Jesus. This is what it looks like. Jesus, we want to be with you. We don't have it all under control. We don't know everything. And so we're going to ask questions. Like, this is what the expert in the law did. He went to Jesus to ask the questions. It is good to ask questions. I don't look at this text and be like, ooh, he's testing Jesus. But testing is like, hey, I want to know more. Like, I want to know more. Jesus isn't holding back, but I want to know more. But we also, like, seek answers. We want answers to questions. We want answers to clarify the things that confound us. We want answers for the things that we just don't know how to do. We want to learn. So we seek answers in many different forms. And this is our life. Like, we're asking questions and we're seeking answers. We're asking questions and we're seeking answers. And this is what the expert of the law says. And this is Jesus' response. The question is, like, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks a question back. What is written? How do you see it? I love this. Jesus doesn't just spout it off. He responds to the question with a question. What do you know? What do you know intimately, internally, as you have been hearing about me and as you've been following me? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The answer that he said is the right answer. And Jesus is like, hey, you know this internally. You know this. You have been taught this. You've been seeking questions and clarifications into what you're doing. He has asked the right question. He has asked the right person. I think this is important right here. It's like asking questions. You can get answers, but are you asking the right person? Are you asking the right person? For God's glory and your neighbor's good. This is what Jesus says. The summation of all of what it means to follow me and what he is doing and what he will send his people to do is to love God and to love neighbor. It's not two different things. It's love God and neighbor. Love God and neighbor. One love command that is for God's glory and your good. That God will be overflowing in the love that he has for you, and that will pour out onto your neighbors. And that the way that you love your neighbors will be a reflection of the deep inherent love that God has for you and has given you. They are ones that flow with anyone. There's ones that testify to each other. It's not either or. It's both. And I remember being taught this very quickly because in our asking questions and seeking answers, we offer justifications. Like, how many in you have, like, you're seeking questions, you're asking answers, that you get the answer, and then you're like, ooh, I want to justify how I'm living, whether it's to the way that it's supposed to or not, or somewhere in between. I think this is all like, as a parent, like, all my kids are like, hey, clean your room, make your bed. I made it. To whose standard? Right? But dad, like, I can't do this. And I can't actually make the bed. I can't pull the sheets up. I'm like, yes, you can. Right? Like, we get this place. And I remember this, as a youth pastor, I was teaching this text, with our students. And we were talking about this idea in this definition of what does it look like to be a neighbor? How do they didn't choose where they live. Their parents did. And so they're just, like, stuck with it. And then they're stuck with the schools and the neighbors. And so we started to say, like, what does it look like for you as students to love the neighbors which you are in proximity to? Who are the kids that sit in front of you, beside you, behind you? Who are the kids that are in the same classes? Who has the same interest? What are the ways that you can love them as your neighbor? As you love God, can you love them? And I remember that I just felt so good about how things were going. And then one of my student leaders raises his voice and says, "This is awesome. This is good. This is biblical. But why should we do this? You don't even do this. You don't know your neighbors." And I was like, how dare you? How dare you? And I began to say, like, but I love my neighbor. See, just as you, like, I love you. You're my neighbor. I love my friends. They are my neighbors. I love my coworkers. They're my neighbors. I began to offer justifications for what it meant to love my neighbor. And this is the same thing that expert does in the law. It says, but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked the question, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Like, that's the question, right? And neighbor can be full and inclusive to mean a lot of people. The parable goes into that this, what it actually means to be a neighbor. But one of the things that I think we've done with this text, that while yes, it includes a wide range of audience and people that can be your neighbor, one of the things, a phrase that I love, it says, if you aim for nothing, you will hit it every time. If you aim for nothing, you will hit it every time. If your neighbor is all inclusive, you will hit it every time. But sometimes you miss the purpose of the definition of who it is. That if we wanted to include everybody, we love nobody. And so this is when you talk about who is my neighbor. Yes, the Lord, in especially in his people group, they only wanted to love who was acceptable to love. And Jesus, in his understanding of what love, radicalized and pushed it further, say, not only love who loves you, but love your enemies. So if we are called to love both those that love us and love our enemies, the same thing is true for our neighbors. We're supposed to love those that are neighbors and included in the parable, but we're also supposed to actually love our neighbors. The call of Christianity, the call of following Jesus, isn't to give up the definition of who neighbors are for a broader view. It's to have both and not forget one or the other. Two things can be true at the same time. We have to forget that. Your neighbor could be the stranger, but your neighbor is also the one that lives closest to you. And so I remember this. I wasn't going to let my student be right. I went home that day. I picked up my infant and walked around with cookies and said, "Oh, look at this beautiful girl. Here's cookies. My name's Austin. This is Ellie. We're your neighbors." And we begin to, like, know who they were and begin to, in a cute way, begin to love them and to be just involved in their lives. And this is what happens, like, when you seek answers, or when you ask questions and you get the answers, as disciples of Jesus, when we seek the questions and we get the answers, Jesus says, as disciples of Jesus, the be with, become like, when we get the answers, then we do what Jesus did. We put it into practice. This is what we talk about faith. It's faith formation. It's forming us that we are becoming more like Jesus. And as we become more like Jesus, we begin to do what Jesus called us to do, to love our neighbors. And that's what Jesus told him. He said, go and do likewise. Like, go and do likewise. This is the invitation of Jesus to his disciples, to you and me. Always, when you see in the story of God, is it an invitation for humanity, for his people, the people that he chooses, to involve themselves in the work and the mission of the kingdom of God in and through where you live. He does that in the picking of Abraham. He does that in the picking of Moses and Joshua and the leaders, the prophets. In the picking of the 12, so many times when the 12 are around him or looking at Jesus, he says, in the feeding of the 5,000, he goes, why don't you feed them? When he sends out the 12 and the 72, he goes, you go cast out demons. You heal in my name. You prophesy that the kingdom of God is here now. You love your neighbor. Who does that include? That includes the Samaritans. That includes the Gentiles. That includes the Israelite people. That includes your Roman oppressors. But it also includes your neighbors. Like, this is the constant invitation and following of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus. It's not to watch Jesus do and sit on the sidelines. It's to get in the game. It's the invitation to play and be a part of what God is doing in and through and around you. And here is where the rubber hits the road. That same neighbor that came over had his son with him. The son was 16 years old, and he loved dogs. And as a newborn, with having a newborn in the room, the dog went on lower on the totem pole of importance. And we just couldn't care for her in the same way. But our neighbor loved. And this happened is, like, I was on a walk with Ellie and with our dog, and he came running out because he saw that I was, like, struggling with both. And he was like, can I just walk your dog with you? I was like, sure. He's like, I love. And he began to tell me all of his life story. He began to tell how he loves his dog, how he is, you know, in high school, trying to figure out what high school looks like, navigating the relationships, the friendships. And over the next, like, 6 to 12 months, we began to have more and more conversations, asking questions like, hey, what does it look like? This girl likes me, but she's a Christian. He's like, can I date her as a Christian? And I'm not. I was like, yeah, of course you can. That's a great person to date. She'll be honorable. She'll be honest. She'll be great. She'll be good for you. And then questions like, hey, what do I, like, I've never worn a tux. What does that look like? What should I look like? And so we began to have these beautiful conversations where he was inviting me into space to asking questions about just life in general. What does it look like, friends? How do I go on a date? What should I do? And at the same time, taking our dog on long walks, holding our daughter, and giving her a bottle. And it was this beautiful place where this neighbor, his name is Clayton, began to just live life next to us. And that same phrase is like, God says, like, I've given you a neighbor, now what are you going to do? And I'll publicly admit this. In our time together that we lived there before we left, he knew I was a pastor, and I invited him to youth group, but I never formally evangelize to this kid. But in the process of rebuilding life and trust from the church and navigating this relationship that he had with this girl that he liked, that was a Christian, we began to open up just this place of having conversations around Jesus, conversations around this idea of what it looks like to believe in a God. And he was just having these conversations, and I never had the guts to ask. But this is what happened when God invites you to just participate in what you're doing, is that this girlfriend brought him to Christ, and then he brought his family to Christ. And then unfortunately, this boy passed away from a rare thing of cancer. But I remember doing this, and I didn't know what part I played until we went back a year later after we had moved, and we went and we talked to our neighbors, and they said to Ashley and I, they're like, thank you for showing him what it would look like to have a relationship with Jesus, because now we are beneficiaries of a faith that he had. You have no idea the neighbor that is in and near you, that God is working in and through and desires to use you. And you might not mention his name, but by standing there with a character and integrity, by being the person that God has called you to be, by being with Jesus and looking more like Jesus as you become him, and then you do what God has called you to do, to love them, to love God with all your heart, and then to love your neighbor as an outflowing. They see that there's something different in you without even naming it, and so they begin to ask questions. And God does the rest. And God can do all he wants, but he wants to use you. And he wants you to show up. But if you don't show up, one of the things that Pastor Kyle always talks about, he'll use something else. He will use rocks and creation if you won't show up. But how much more do you want to celebrate what God can do in others? Because he chooses you to be one of the instruments of people finding new life. This is what it means to live for God's glory and your neighbor's good. To be people who say yes to what God can do in and through you, not because you are capable, because you have it all, because you're willing to show up. To ask the right questions, to hear the answers that God is giving you, and to put into practice a life that looks like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you have been whispering and speaking to us consistently, and I believe that, but often we aren't listening. So Lord, right now, open our ears to hear what you have been saying to us. Friends, what word is the Spirit speaking you today that's for you, not for someone else? What is the Lord putting in your heart? Whether it's a person, a block. Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear. Holy Spirit, would you give us the courage to do what you did? Because we are your people and you are our God. Amen.